Is there a God in heaven? The Bible tells us that every day, nature declares to us that God does indeed exist. This is a monumental question, folks. Does God exist? Every day we find that there are people that are trying to rid society of the very mention or the very idea or thought of God. Men have taken God out of the schools. Men have taken God out of courtrooms. Men are trying to remove the very idea of God from politics. Men are even trying to remove the idea of God from our currency. It must be that the thought of God and even the very mention of the name of God makes some people very uncomfortable. But one thing that men will never be able to rid the world of is the world itself, the creation. Because the creation cries out to us every day and tells us that there is a God in heaven. This is one thing that men will never be able to take away from us. They will never be able to silence the testimony of nature itself. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Psalm 19, verse 1. Today, we're going to look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is a great passage of Scripture on this very point. I'm talking about the fact that the creation around us and the creation within us tells us that God does indeed exist. This is one of the most lengthy, one of the most detailed, and one of the most powerful sections of Scripture that you'll find on this very point. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Let me stop right there. Notice that the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed. In verses 16 and 17, Paul has talked about the gospel being God's power to salvation and how that the righteousness of God, God's plan for making man righteous, is revealed in that gospel. Now he talks about the wrath of God. God is a good God, He is a loving God, but He is also a God of wrath and a God of justice. And this wrath, he says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So this display is not only made for good people to observe and to benefit from. This display is a testimony against the sins of mankind. Paul says that these ungodly people hold the truth in unrighteousness. He's not saying there that they simply possess the truth, that they contain the truth within them. The word hold there means to hold back. It means to suppress. It means to hinder. And so these ungodly men were hindering the truth about God. How were they doing that? They were doing that with their lives. We have people today with their words and their lives that want to hinder the name of God and the truth about God. But the Bible tells us that no matter how much they try, no matter what they do, nature itself continues to cry out. In verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now, he hasn't gone into detail yet about this display, but I want you to notice the wording of verse 18 and 19. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven. And then in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. What has God shown? What is it that he has declared? What is it that God has made known or revealed? Well, the Bible tells us in detail, beginning in verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Now, this is kind of a play on words here. Paul talks about the invisible things of God, these invisible characteristics or attributes of God. You can't see them with your eyes because God is spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God doesn't have a body that is material. He doesn't have a physical body. God is spirit, and so God is the invisible God in that sense. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17 talks about that fact. So Paul says that God has these invisible things, these invisible qualities or characteristics, but he says from the creation of the world, and I believe it means there since the creation of the world, these invisible things of God are clearly seen. Now, how do you see something that's invisible? And how do you clearly see something that is invisible to the physical eye? Well, you do that with the mind. Paul is talking about seeing something here with your soul. He's talking about perceiving these things, not seeing them with your eye, but seeing them with your mind. So the Bible tells us in this passage that God's invisible qualities, even though we cannot see God with our eyes, we cannot hear Him with our ears, we cannot touch God, at the same time we can know, we can understand as best we can as human beings that God exists and that these invisible attributes of God are indeed properties of Almighty God. So he says that God's existence here can be clearly seen. Now, folks, again, this is why this very passage tells us that there is absolutely no reason, there is absolutely no justification, and there is absolutely no excuse for a man to be an atheist, for a man to be an idolater, or for a man to be a skeptic who stands back and says, well, I don't know, and I just don't think that anybody knows whether God exists or not. There is no excuse for that kind of thinking, because the Bible says in this passage that the invisible things of God can be clearly seen. Notice he doesn't just say seen, but clearly seen. And he elaborates on that, being understood by the things that are made. What are these things that are made? Well, he's talking about the creation. He's talking about nature. And so we can understand, you see, these invisible things of God are understood by the things that are made. So if we want to see, clearly see, and understand that God is the all-powerful God, if we want to see the glory of God, if we want to know about the love and the goodness of God, the Bible tells us how to do it here. Now, obviously, the Scriptures themselves are going to take you into far more detail about all those attributes of God. But nature itself at least gives a foundation so that there is no excuse for any man not being aware of God. There's no excuse for any man not thinking about God from day to day, because nature itself is calling out and is crying out every day. The sad thing is that many people are not listening. Many people are blind to it. John Calvin once said that most men walk through this world like a man going through this glorious theater blindfolded. That's the display of God that many people just shut their eyes to. So by the things that are made, look at that in Romans 1 verse 20. The things that are made refers to all the elements, all the aspects of creation. You can look at any part of this creation, and those things are included in this expression. For instance, when you look at some little creature of God, an ant, a fly, a butterfly, a bird, a hummingbird, a fish, a plant, a tree, a blade of grass, frost, snow, rain, hail, clouds, the stars above, the sun, the moon, when you look at yourself, and you look at how remarkable it is that you have a hand, that your eyes do all the things that they do, that you can hear certain sounds. When you consider the human body and how remarkable it is, how could anybody be an atheist? Well, folks, here's the fact about it. When a man is an unbeliever, when he either says, I don't believe in God, or he says, well, I don't know whether God exists or not, it is not because he's looked at nature and has been honest about it. It's because he has looked at nature and he has not been honest. He's not been honest with the facts, And he's not being honest with himself. He's not even being true to his own conscience. The Bible tells us that God's nature is displayed everywhere in this vast creation. And notice that he says in verse 20, two things about God that are shown in the creation. His eternal power and Godhead. Now think about that. The scriptures tell us that if we want to see, first of all, the eternal power. Now there are two things involved there. Number one, God is eternal. Number two, God is all powerful. If you want to see that God is eternal, just look at nature itself. Sometimes people ask a question about God. Well, if God created everything, then who created God? Nobody. Nothing. Because God is the original source. God is the first cause. And as some of the ancients used to call him, he is the uncaused cause of everything that we see. So you see, folks, what the Bible tells us is that we can know this from nature itself, and we can see the power of God. The fact that God is all-powerful, and obviously also the fact that God is all-knowing. Because the power and the knowledge and the wisdom that it took to create all this and to also sustain or maintain all of this has to be infinite power and infinite knowledge. So he says that we can see this eternal power and also Godhead. Now the word Godhead here is a word that needs some explaining. Many times today when we use the English word Godhead, it means the idea, the Bible teaching of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The word Godhead here in the King James Version does not refer to that idea. It does not refer to the Trinity. It means the divine nature. It means divinity, the divine essence. Because he says here in Romans 1 verse 20 that you can see this Godhead from nature, from the creation itself, the sun, the moon, the stars, the creation around us, the creation within us. You can know this Godhead. Well, you can't know that God is composed of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit by looking into nature. The only way that you can know that is by reading the Bible. So again, the word Godhead here doesn't refer to the Trinity, it refers to the divine essence. But the bottom line, Paul states in verse 20 is this, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse about what? Without excuse for what? They are without excuse for the way that they are living. They're without excuse for the sins that they have committed and are committing. And in the next lesson, we're going to go into detail in Romans chapter 1 about the sins that Paul is referring to here, that there's no excuse for, that there's no justification for, because these people, as well as we today, can clearly see that God exists and that we can know that we are accountable to God. You see, one of the things that people want today, and they can't really have it, is that they want a good God. They want a God that they can go to when they're in trouble, but they don't want a God that they have to answer to. Well, folks, they can't have it both ways, because the God of the Bible, who is a good God, is also the God of the Bible that holds us accountable for our actions. And in Romans chapter 1, we will see that brought out in a very powerful and profound way. Thank you for listening today. It's been a joy to have you, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.